Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We're going to be...
There for you.
Jane Hoffman. We have Don on the line. I'm going to do a brief intro. Thank you for calling in, Don. You're still on mute. I'll pull you in a second. There's two hot topics this week, actually three, that we're going to start out with. The first one is, why was Donald Trump so jealous of Jill McCabe, who was Andrew McCabe's wife, and she was running for the state Senate in Virginia, and she was a doctor, a medical doctor. And apparently she got some money from the DNC or from the Clinton Foundation, and Donald Trump blew a gasket. Not only did he blow a gasket, but when Andrew McCabe took over Comey's spot, he asked Andrew McCabe directly, who did you vote for in 2016? And Andrew McCabe did not answer him. It was none of his business. The second hot topic tonight is I'm also going to go in some background on this firing of Andrew McCabe and how, if you guys remember, Mike Flynn, the national security advisor, had to step down because of his paid speeches to Russia. And Donald Trump, at the time of that controversy, asked Chairman Devin Nunes and Richard Burr, both serving as chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the House and Senate, to ward off a story by the New York Times about Michael Flynn. He actually told these chairmen to call the newspapers to tell him that the story was false. Now, that's something a president has rarely done, especially within another branch of government. And the last topic tonight is I was informed by a private tip-off that one reason that Trump Tower, the steel controversy of raising tariffs for not only Chinese imports but other countries, was because Donald Trump was getting a lot of competition right on Manhattan with six new high-rises being built. He doesn't want the competition, and if he raises tariffs by 45% on Chinese steel and other sources, those people building the high-rise in New York City won't be able to complete it in a timely manner. And if they do, it's going to cost a lot more money. So I'm going to pull Don in to see what he wants to talk about first. Good evening, Don.
Hi, Jane. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good. It's just us so far. I've only texted people twice today, and I haven't gotten much of a response. So, what topic appealed to you most that I just mentioned? And are you driving tonight?
Yeah, no, I'm not out yet. I'm still at home. I don't know much about the Andrew McCabe. I mean, there's
How about just the fact that he was fired less than 48 hours after he was planning to retire?
Right. Well, that's because they wanted to save his pension. That's going to be massive, probably in over $1 million.
He was going to lose a good chunk of his pension if he doesn't get canned. I mean, if he does get canned, which he did.
Right. I'm saying his pension is probably close for over $1 million, it's probably over that. And then he's probably going to get, I don't know how many years he's had in, 25 or so, but.
I think it was around 30.
Yeah, but he's going to lose probably 21 years of that. It'll be about 11 years or so.
People in the FBI, aren't they in the civil service step system? Like when I worked
right.
at the Department of Defense, I was like a GS-4. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's something he could definitely fight.
Okay. Well, yeah, you should have a union if you are, a member of it, but I don't know if he's higher class management, so he wouldn't have the accoutrements of union benefits. But, you know, we're looking at the fact that another leader is implicated in corruption and crime, which is emblematic of our leadership. They are controlling, manipulative, thieving, conniving, a whole lot of other things. So,
well, my question is, did you know, Andrew McCabe replaced James Comey, and he was probably Trump's choice. And why would, now that there are he has certain alliances with certain things that Trump didn't like, all of a sudden he's just fodder, like he's going down the river with cement boots?
Because what's happening is that, first of all, Trump is still trying to find that fine line with his cabinet and his officers. So this is something that it's a cleaning process. It's a curry process. Whoever can curry to Donald Trump, Trump's favors the most will get the best favor from him. So we're looking at the situation that McCabe is a holdover from the Obama era. So essentially he was probably the last man expendable. Janet Yellen.
Well, he was also discredited by the president by saying that he misled internal investigations at the Justice Department. In other words, Trump didn't like the direction of where the special counsel investigation was going inside the FBI.
And you're just theorizing that because Trump can't like anything that's going on against him in the FBI. Everything is starting to point to he and his children, and this is a long-time chronic situation. This isn't just started now. It started even before Stormy Daniels in 11.
Well, guess what? Guess what I found out this weekend? Donald Trump Jr. is divorcing his wife of 5 children because they're afraid that if they do get convicted, now people think this divorce is just a front, but I found out an inside story that Donald Trump's wife Vanessa, she is going to hold on to all their assets in case Donald Trump Jr. gets incriminated. Because they had 5 kids together, and they had a happy marriage up until a month ago. And now
Whatever.
The press is trying to shield it by saying she doesn't like the public spotlight.
Well, I don't know what you can say happy marriage when they don't know what happiness is. They don't know what it takes to work together and grind out a family and make sure that everything is all right. They have a family, sure, but they got nannies and they can send them off to camp and airplanes and everything else. They don't know how to grow a family. So they probably didn't deserve the family part of it anyway.
Well,
they
chose to have 5 children together, and she's model material, and he's only average.
Right. Well, model material.
It's not nice of me to say that, but I'm being frank.
No, but it's
not.
You're probably white women are the devil in the black man's eyes. So bottom line.
Okay, but you know what? This girl, she kind of looks like Eastern European too, like Donald Trump Jr.'s mother. I'm not sure what her origin is. I'm pretty sure she's American though. But can I read something quick? Andrew McCabe made a statement over his firing. He said the attack on my credibility is one part of a larger effort not just to slander me personally, but to taint the FBI, law enforcement, and intelligence professionals more generally. It is part of the administration's ongoing war on the FBI and efforts of the special counsel investigation, which continue to this day. Their persistence in this campaign only highlights the importance of the special counsel's work. Also, Trump called on his own personal lawyer to tell the FBI to end the investigation. So he's kind of like pulling a Nixon.
He's
pulling a Nixon. He thinks he can fire all these top dogs and then it's just going to go away.
but he can. He can shoot somebody on Fifth Street, Fifth Avenue in New York and not have to worry about getting convicted. He's already told us that. So bottom line is that he is right now in a situation where he can do anything he wants, and he's getting ready. You saw the announcement today that he might that he's questioning Mueller's role or need, or I forgot exactly the circumstance and the statement, but he just said today that Mueller has overstepped his bounds in some manner or another, and that he stopped short of saying that he needs to be fired, but he's right there.
I'm calling Ben to find out where he is, but you and I can just carry the show anyway. But
we used to
Robert Mueller, I was out all day, and I'm pulling a blank. Okay. Thank you.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for?
No, Robert Mueller. Don, I'm having a senior moment.
Oh, I believe it. I had one yesterday at a basketball game.
I forgot who Robert Mueller works for.
No,
who does Robert Mueller work for?
He works for the special counsel to the FBI. He's the special counsel to the president. That's all right. That's okay. Don't let it. Don't hurt yourself.
You know, you want to know why? Because I was watching a Rachel Maddow. I hear Ben. He's on the line. I'm going to pull him in. I was watching an old video from a year ago of Rachel Maddow, and I was trying to scribble all these names down, like Devin Nunes and Richard Burr, and facts about Mike Flynn from 2 years ago, or practically 2 years ago, and I had a senior moment. I was trying to compile too many facts. I didn't even get home till a half hour ago. So,
okay.
Anyways, let's say hi to Ben. Ben, Don had his 10 minutes of fame already and got to say whatever he wanted before you got on the air.
And I
right
didn't say a bad thing because you took up 8 of them.
He said his most powerful quote was, I told him that Vanessa Trump was divorcing Don Jr., and there's a rumor going around that they're divorcing because they're afraid of losing their assets in case the Trumps are convicted of something. And Don said, I was mentioning that she was quite a bit more attractive than Donald Jr., and Don Gallimore said, everybody knows the blue-eyed, blonde-haired women are the devil incarnate.
None of that is substantial evidence.
Oh,
okay.
At all.
Did you hear any rumors about why Vanessa Trump and Donald Jr. are getting divorced?
Yeah, I heard rumors. Everybody's heard rumors, but that doesn't really go very far.
She's actually a beautiful woman. She kind of looks. She was born in New York City, but she kind of looks Eastern European. She's kind of like a sexier version of Ivanka's sister. But they do have 5 kids together.
I think it's really not. It's not very smart to go off of looks, and when you're talking about a divorce in politics.
I know, I was being a woman, okay? Saying is they have 5 kids together. She doesn't like the public spotlight. And that was the reason given on national news why their divorce was going through.
Well, let me finish. She got mail. She opened up mail that could have been anthrax. So she might be scared to death. Maybe she didn't sign up for all this.
That's terrible. I know the Trump children were threatened at least once during the general election.
Well,
that
probably the Russians trying to poison them. Very good, Ben. Thank you. The Russians are trying to poison them.
Don, don't be tongue-in-cheek right now. Take them seriously.
Who? You can't take any of this seriously. Are you? Oh,
Ben.
Man, I'm talking about the Trumps and Ivanka and Vanessa and Donald Jr. and all those people.
Right, Ben, I know that I sound like a yellow journalism person tonight, but I actually heard that from a credible source this week, and a reporter in my city.
Yeah, it's tough to listen to reporters sometimes. A lot of them have an agenda. A lot of them want to push a narrative.
I'm
going to
bring up the second topic. He also said that one of the reasons I found out tonight that we get 16% of our steel from Canada. So it's not just the Chinese we're punishing by raising tariffs, but apparently Canada and Mexico are exempt anyway from tariffs. But basically the same reporter guy said that Donald Trump wants to raise steel because they're building 6 new high-rises in New York City's Manhattan. They're competing with Trump, and he doesn't want to see those high-rises be completed because they're competing with his own Trump Tower. Now, does that seem far-fetched to you guys?
It seems like a narrative.
The percentage is way too small for Donald Trump as president, and he should have given it over to his trust fund. As president of this corporation, it's too small of a project to worry about losing a couple of, maybe $1 million or $2 million when you're working with the United States government.
Why would Trump do something for his own company right now?
Like, I don't think he's that selfish that he'd have that narrow of a perspective. I think it's more of his nationalistic view that we have to protect American production and trade.
Thank you.
In this article, it says President Trump signed an order Thursday authorizing a 25% increase on steel imports and 10% on aluminum tariff. Then it goes on to say that Canada contributes 16% of our steel and 41% of our aluminum. Though the tariffs have been lauded by U.S. steelworkers, the move stands to raise costs on construction and infrastructure projects and could have dire consequences for the labor force, including the loss of construction. ConstructionDive.com. It was a business. People who work in the construction industry.
So it's most likely construction union that published this, right?
Well, they also said it could affect the New York Hudson Yards project and the $1.9 billion Raiders Stadium being built in Vegas.
Right. Well, you got to think about it like we are not prepared to make our own right now. If World War III ever broke out, we would have to think about how are we going to manufacture goods for war. That's a worst case.
The hard products, the middle production, and the final products in place anymore. The manufacturing,
exactly.
The raw materials, and the completion, we don't have that anymore.
Exactly. And there's no reason why we shouldn't.
I'm on a ride.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to manufacture our own goods. I mean, we've done it before in the past. We've gotten away from it through trade deals. And now it's to the point where if we want to keep our freedom, we have to be prepared for a war. And that doesn't mean that we have to go to war. That just means we have to be prepared for war. And that's the best.
Well, I have a question.
Deterrent.
Since Russia's been in Syria for over 5 years, aren't they in a tough state of mind right now? Like, who is our biggest threat if we were to go to war? And now that England has kicked out 36 more diplomats out of their country and sent Russia home, are they going to fan their flames and start perceiving Europe as a major enemy too again?
Well,
or is
Europe
China
seems to be
just
compromised.
A big invisible threat?
Europe seems to be compromised by the globalist agenda. China is in it for China. They'll take anything they can take. They have
yeah,
world
remember
domination
that show that we
on
did
money.
On Chinese that they were building in Kenya? Well, I recently read an article now that Russia feels threatened by that.
Right, well, they are good at mining, and they'll go where the raw materials haven't been mined yet.
Right.
They've developed
well,
all
anyways,
their systems.
I just want to bring you abreast to what we'd been talking about before you called in. I haven't heard from Albert or John today either, by the way. And I really don't want to do more than a 75-minute show tonight anyway, unless Mike calls in. But first of all, we first started out by bringing up Andrew McKay because left or right, I don't even care what his political persuasion is, it's a ripoff to fire someone 48 hours before they're going to retire. And he was the man who replaced James Comey. Now, I was gone most of the day and I didn't have time to do my research, but did Donald Trump handpick McCabe or was he picked within the internal framework of the FBI to replace Comey?
Well, that's a question I don't know the answer to.
I purposely avoided politics today. It's my last day of vacation, and I can look it up during the show. I just was wondering if you knew.
He definitely knows the dirt of what was going on inside. Maybe that has something to do with him being fired 2 days before his retirement, is that he will
talk. Well, I know that
talk.
Trump didn't like him on two levels, one which I already mentioned. His wife, who is a doctor, Jill McCabe, ran for the state senate in Virginia, and she got money from either Hillary or the DNC. For some reason, Trump feels threatened by a female doctor running for a state senate seat in Virginia. But he actually did tweet about it, and he was livid.
It's not that he feels threatened by a female. It's if I was Trump, I would feel threatened by anybody who's accepted.
I just meant that the seat isn't big enough for him to worry about whether she's a woman or not. The fact that
right,
she
exactly.
was running.
It,
yeah.
But what I was saying was that I doubt that it's the gender of the person that has anything to do with him feeling threatened. If somebody
I don't think it was the gender.
Cabinet,
I just didn't explain it right. What I was saying is she ran for a state senate seat, which I don't think is that consequential. But what Trump tweeted about is he didn't like the fact that she got, like, PAC money from either the Clintons or the DNC.
Exactly. That's threatening. Anybody that's taken money from the Clintons didn't take money for free. They promised something. The Clintons don't pay for nothing. They pay for something. So when people
know,
donate to them, it's because they're trapped.
You have to look at it as
the trapped.
President of the United States. He's getting into a government servant's personal business. Like, I don't think Jill McCabe was a direct threat to Donald Trump.
Personal business? McCabe knows the ins and outs of the bad deals with the FBI. He knows exactly what they've done. He knows who ordered what. He knows who's been murdered. He knows everything. So Trump firing him is Trump
well,
putting
also,
him on blast.
I know, but to me
Are
it seemed trivial when I first was exposed to this information. Maybe you think differently than me. But I did want to mention that McCabe did take notes during the four brief meetings with McCabe. Don, did you have a comment?
I just was asking. I just got finished with the ride. It was a short one. So I was wondering what Ben was, what you guys were talking about. Were you talking about McCain or were you talking about Mueller? Knows everything.
I was giving
McCain.
Him an update of what you and I have already hashed over.
And
that,
Ben was making a comment
that Trump
somebody
was overreactionary to a McCabe's wife who was running for state office.
Right. Now, she, you know, she took the money that was supposed, you know, that they had arranged from the DNC. And so, you know, that's ridiculous that McCabe was even still on the job.
Exactly.
You know what,
so,
then why didn't
so,
he just quit? Why didn't he pull a stunt? And why didn't he just secretly, like, let's just say, put in a 7 days notice before anything could happen? Like, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Because he's because
he wants his retirement.
Right. There you go.
But you
now.
Still can retire. Like, did he have to pass the anniversary date? Was that the deal?
Yes.
Well, I think Trump wants him to talk. He's going to talk. He's going to talk, and he's going to spill the beans on what's been going on because he has no choice now. He's been outed. He hasn't been
right.
prosecuted, but his benefits and everything are riding on the line. He better talk.
But you know what?
Exactly.
You know what, Ben? McCabe, Trump's lawyer tried to shut down the investigation within hours of McCabe being fired. Trump is still trying to arm flex his way and terminate this investigation by eliminating people. And that's unethical, too.
The investigation is nonsense. It's getting to the point where it's out of control. It's
well, you
the
know
investigation
what?
Team is out of control, out of the American public's control.
And so is President Trump. He's out of control, too.
How? In what way?
Well, he's last week we hashed over 14 people who have either resigned or been canned by his administration. He put in Mike Flynn, the National Security Director, who had paid speeches from Russia and retroactively changed his independent status. The list goes on. I'm not going to go through it all tonight, but it's been chaos since he took office.
Well, we could spend a whole show talking about how Mueller should be compromised from this investigation.
Well, there has to be somebody in there doing the dirty work. I mean, who are you going to pick from Mueller in the back of the office?
The dirty work is why we're in this position in the first place. The dirty work is what we've been used to. And everybody knows that the government has been involved in dirty work. That's why Trump got elected, because he ran on draining the swamp. And then they put
well,
Mueller in there, who was part of the swamp.
Well, he's draining too many alligators.
All the alligators.
You know, there's
he's no, gone.
There's nothing left to feed on anymore.
That's not true. The swamp
I don't
is
think
that's
Trump
not,
is.
Not even. That's not
I don't think Trump is above board. I hate to say it, Ben, but. You see him as a straight shooter, someone that doesn't have any skeletons in his closet, and I just don't see it that way. I'm sorry.
Well, I think we dodged the bullet getting Trump.
What does that mean? If you mean if
he
Hillary had gotten elected, the corruption would be rampant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what
probably.
Do you think about martial law and Hillary Clinton's agenda? Look at her history. I mean, we couldn't have had her. I mean, there's no way she would have been a good president. She was a terrible Secretary of State.
Well, let me just ask you
evil.
That. Even if that Russian investigation isn't up to speed, this article, I think it's Time Magazine, it says Trump in a series of tweets elevated his simmering grievances to a boil against Mueller, whose team is examining Trump campaign ties to Russia and obstruction of justice. One-time FBI Deputy Director McCabe, who was dismissed Friday, blah, blah, blah. So is Trump responding in a mature presidential manner to all of this, or is he just swinging his fists?
Yes, he lasted longer than I would have. If I ran for president and then they put some special counsel in that's supposed to have all these powers that nobody can touch, why would you sit there and allow all this nonsense and let the taxpayers pay for an investigation that's finding zero?
Well, did you know when Nixon, when they created a special counsel during Watergate, Archibald Cox and a couple other people, Nixon just fired their asses? And it wasn't until they were out of office that they had to create an independent counsel in which a president can't fire people. I've never seen a president go after the FBI like this.
Have you ever seen the FBI so bad?
I can't attest to that. I don't have enough information, and I'm not in a position to judge.
We did a show about the Wooten file. We went over some of the guilt that they
have.
I'm
just assuming that 75% of them are trying hard at their desks and collecting information they find relevant. Except
yeah, so
for you're
25%
right.
You got to watch out for.
Well, the Wooten file, yes, I remember that clearly and how they screwed up. But you can't pigeonhole the whole department. We're supposed to have some respect for our government.
That is so much bigger than a screw-up. That was planned. That was corruption. That was extortion,
absolutely,
corruption, threats. I mean, they're threatening people, like entrapment. I mean, you can go down the list. That was institutional corruption. That's
well,
not a mistake. That was purpose.
I pity the family whose ranch was jeopardized, the Bundy family. I don't pity Donald Trump because I feel that his verbal abuse and his tactics are showing him to be a leopard of a strange color, and I don't approve of his behaviors.
Verbal abuse is on a totally different scale than what we're talking about.
Well, whatever did you know he asked, this is another, okay, I'm going to let you guys take over the show factually, but he asked Devin Nunes and Richard Burr, who are equally the Intelligence Committee chairman in each of the Senate and House, he asked them to call different news outlets about a year and a half ago to say that Mike Flynn is above board and to tell him that the New York Times article about his ties to Russian speeches was bullshit. He's asking somebody else in another branch to do media publicity, PR work.
And where did that leak come from? How would we know that at all if there wasn't a leak inside?
I don't know where it came from. Well, let me find where I found it, okay?
Okay.
It's going to take a few minutes, so you guys have to talk.
Well, because the leak apparently came from Comey and his office. But, you know,
right.
Comey again was part of the Obama strategy team at one point. So, you know, this is all the FBI, DOJ, they're all dirty. They're keeping secrets from us, the American public. And we must remember that this government is for we the people. This is outrageous. It's undemocratic. And we're going into the wrong direction in terms of the way that we treat our politicians. We're treating them like they're on a pedestal when, in all actuality, they're destroying what our families, our generations.
Including the president himself.
Especially the president himself. He's been working with Russia in some form or another for decades now. And, he's not going to be.
Yeah, but open borders, right?
I beg your pardon?
Okay, this is juggernaut we've been looking
right?
for. Open borders, bring them all in and send people with orange hair
no,
out.
My point in saying that is that the people that call for open borders and no discrimination are the same people pointing at Russia for being the big bad boogeyman. So it's like racism all over again. If people are pointing
at
Russia
and
saying
they're
the boogeyman.
Even if Russia tried to influence the election, that it's the individual voter's choice at the polls. Like, they have to be able to discern and separate the wheat from the chaff. So you can only – I don't believe in blaming Russia either. But if there's some concrete evidence, I'd like to know.
Right.
Now, this is one thing that came out this week. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team interviewed McCabe and asked him about the firing of FBI Director Comey. The source would not say when the interview first happened, but it was reported by Axios. I'm not sure what that is. Mueller also had memos written by McCabe documenting his conversations with Trump. A person familiar with the matter told CNN. The memos detail what Comey told McCabe about his interactions with Trump while he was director, the source said, and are seen as a way to corroborate Comey's account in Mueller's probe on Russian interference. So I'm sure Trump didn't like the fact that Mueller has within his possession, and I read today that McCabe no longer has those memos that he handwrote. They're all in Mueller's hands. So basically, Trump doesn't like the fact that he had these interactions with the top investigator, and Trump probably doesn't know the inside story. And by the way, one question we can ask ourselves is, since Trump is the president of the U.S., and there's been an investigation on him, he doesn't really have access to any progress notes made in that investigation, right?
Right.
He can't, like, do a Freedom of Information Act and request, like, what emails transpired with people. Because down here in Duluth, Minnesota, there's a controversy going on with the mayor and this company that wants to pull up some railroad tracks out, and the reporters can go to the city hall and access her emails of the mayor's if we want to. But in the case of Donald Trump, who's president, I don't believe he can.
Right, and
Don,
that brings me to a question. What kind of a big brother did Obama have in his first year? So Trump got elected, and he's
because
got
because he didn't have any controversy, you mean?
What?
Are you saying that because he didn't have controversy?
No, I would never say that Obama never had controversy.
No, I'm just saying,
because
like,
he
do you
did.
Feel like, Don, you're back on the air. Are you trying to say that Obama flew below the radar and had nobody hounding him for anything?
No, I think Obama was helped along by the establishment media and domestic enemies. And the domestic enemies that helped him become president.
I don't know about domestic enemies, but the media loved him.
Exactly. Why? Why did the media love him?
I can tell you why.
Trump?
Do you want to know why?
Well, I can tell
because
you why, but I'll listen to you
first.
First
of all, he wasn't. No, just, you're going to have to hear me out for a full sentence. He wasn't a bully. He wasn't trying to demonstrate macho-ness through wealth and power. He was an intellectual, and he was, as they say, professorial. And he was also sincere about wanting America to come together, and they liked his style. They liked the way he projected himself and what he stood for. And he was also on the liberal media side as far as social justice matters.
Now do you want me to explain my side?
Sure. He wasn't trying to project old school values from the 50s that don't work anymore either.
No, he was following was following Saul Alinsky's playbook. He had ties to MSNBC and CNN, and he had ties to the upper echelons of the Democratic Party. He also
Well, even so, he still had his own mind. He had a developed philosophy about life. Trump only hangs on to his black and white idea of success.
Did you ever see, what was his name?
Norman Vincent Peale?
Now I'm drawing a blank. No,
Billy Graham.
The Fox News anchor. He was Fox News anchor for so
long.
John
Hannity?
Nope, the other one.
Roger Ailes?
No.
Bill O'Reilly?
He's older. Yeah, O'Reilly. So Obama and O'Reilly gave an Obama interview. Did you ever see that? When O'Reilly was digging into Obama's past and talking about Ayers and his friends, Obama's friends or acquaintances, and the next thing you know, O'Reilly's off the air. He asked questions that nobody is supposed to ask Obama. And the next thing you know, he's off the air.
Well, he also messed around with women he shouldn't have messed around. And I don't know how those kind of strings are pulled.
Yeah, that's the least of the concerns. I'm talking about the interview itself. If you watch that interview...
I didn't watch it because I don't watch Fox, and I got rid of my cable all the way back in July because of this stupid election. That's now 2 years old.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching stuff like RT News and the Young Turks and the awesome Rachel Maddow that you love.
No, I can't stand Rachel Maddow.
You know what? She's very smooth and talented. And by the way, Don, can you come in and defend me for God's sake? My boxing gloves are getting bloody.
It's not mine.
Okay, this is a good segue into a historical parallel. All three of us are right on some level. I mean, 90% of this stuff is bullshit. No one's dying because of Russian intervention or anything like that, but I watched a documentary 3 days ago about the Finno-Russian war, and the Russians pretty much came in because they felt threatened because their capital was too close to Leningrad, and it was a 2.5-year war, but then it stopped and then it continued, but the Finns did all kinds of crazy things to annihilate the Soviets. First, they didn't hardly have any weapons, so they used knives. They used logs to jam the Soviet tanks. They wore these white coveralls and flew around on skis and, like, would stab the Russians in the middle of the night. One time they tricked them, like, they knew the Russians were going hungry from being in the forest for 4 days. So they made, like, 500 sausages and cooked it. And the Russians, like, gave in, and they were starving, and they ate all the sausage, and no one fought again for like 3 more days. Well, needless to say, the war ended in 1941. There was like a truce. And then in 1944, the Russians came back hard, and they ended up getting 12% of the Finnish land, and they ended up winning, basically because there was more of them. But along the way, they lost a lot of people.
Look at the difference. Look at the difference in land mass and population. Finland compared to Russia, can you believe that they even stood a chance at all?
Right, like they held them off for 3 years just from goofy tactics, like putting these white coveralls and being like invisible in the snow and all this other stuff. So
right,
the moral of the story is there's evil enemies out there everywhere, but unless we got Russians sneaking up to our house and killing us, we're really not in that bad of shape. But it kind of made me proud of my ancestral history that I just don't understand why, even to this day, Russia's still going after so many different people that, like, they held Azerbaijan for 30 years, just north of Iran, and they're attacking the Syrians and killing people. They just never stop. No matter if their empire collapses or not, they're just fucking bastards.
See, now that's where you're bordering on dehumanizing Russians. That is racism, and that's a war tactic. When you're about to go to war with somebody.
Well, I guess they're proud of their service as military, but half those men who went to battle for Russia were sheep. Like, they were just following Stalin's order in 39. Like, freezing their asses off in the woods, and they probably didn't want to even take the Finns over.
Right. You have to understand, though, that what the MSN is, mainstream media is doing, is dehumanizing Russia. And that's a war tactic. When you have to go to war with somebody, the first thing you're trained to do is dehumanize the enemy. And that stops the human mind from thinking that killing is wrong. So that's what our mainstream media has been doing ever since Trump has been in office.
Well,
so
I don't
dehumanizing
like the fact
Russians
that
is
I've
a war
told
tactic.
You many times I don't like the fact that CNN spends 45 minutes a night finding any way to pick at Trump. Anyway, just little things like he said, she said. So it is kind of taking away from the overall value. Even if I don't agree with his government objectives or his goals, it's still kind of tedious. Don, we haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, no, I just had a ride. But CNN is doing what they can. If you looked at some of Don Lemon's stuff earlier and during the campaign and some of the other anchors, they were actually trying to give Trump the benefit of the doubt in many of these instances. And they still haven't completely implicated him in virtually anything. So I don't know if CNN is doing as bad a job as you and Ben or Ben think.
It's
I
not
think
so much
to...
a bad job. It's just that they don't, except for when Christiane Amanpour is on there and making, disclosing what's going on in the Middle East, we really just don't hear much about world news in the same fashion like BBC. We're only just hearing talking heads debating each other.
Right, yeah, but BBC is a globalist compromised news anyway. So
right.
Even if you
they're
do hear world news from
they're not that compromised. They're pretty accurate.
They're agenda-driven.
Ben? At least they give the news. They talk about things going on, like if there's a crop shortage in Indonesia. They don't sit there and debate stuff unless there's, like, sometimes, like, for 5 minutes a night, they'll do something like talk about a new movie or an upcoming actor. But really, they're not that – they pretty much stick to the news.
Well, I listen to people all over the – look, go ahead, Don.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say CNN does do too much Trump news. That's true.
Right, and I've heard from
they're,
people
they're the
all
ones
over
who
the
are
world
guilty that, for having him elected, because all they ever did is talk about the dude.
Right.
That's true. And so did Fox News had Alan Combs. Do you guys remember Alan Combs?
Yes, and he got fired for – I forgot why he got fired.
He didn't get fired. He had his own radio show, his own call-in radio show. Every day,
it used to be Hannity and
Trump.
Combs. They used
right.
to be on
that
Fox.
Right, and I'm talking about Alan Combs' radio show when it was just him. And for
okay,
the
well,
entire election.
Okay, well, I never
election,
listened to that. I was living back in L.A. then.
Right, for the entire election, he played clips of Trump. he would mock him. He would play the Trump rallies and mock him. And I even called in and called him out on it. I said, "Are you kidding me? You're only playing Trump just so you can mock him, even though there's candidates that might, you know, be better for you as a liberal," because he was proud to be a liberal, but all he ever did was talk about Donald Trump. I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't want to talk about Ben Carson or Rand Paul or anybody else? You'd rather just hammer down every single day on Donald Trump?
The thing is, you want to know what the, I don't know what the end game is, but the pregame was, nobody can manage Donald Trump, and they don't know how to handle him, so they just talk about him. Like, they could have tried ignoring him.
Right. Well, my point in bringing that up was that I'm glad Donald Trump won because the options got down to slim. But at the beginning, I was really focused on Rand Paul or Ben Carson, because I like their message. I did like their message. I mean, pull us kind of back.
Me too. I like Ben Carson's message. Even though he didn't really embrace all the public, you know, roles that the Democrats do. But my question is I was listening to one of our episodes the other day about the Nicholas Cruz murders, and in the middle of this great debate, John says, "So what responsibility would Donald Trump have for knowing in advance that this 19-year-old was going to shoot everybody up? Like, why does everything have to come down to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? Like, what's behind this Marquis de Sade or this shielding Wizard of Oz and the FBI? Like, what does it really come down to?"
Money. It comes down to money. The reason Ben posed the question, why I believe it was Ben or it might have been you, that just posed the question why they were on Donald Trump so much. That's because he was the loudest. They're always the media. You know, media cells, sex cells.
The emptiest truck makes the loudest noise.
Cells. Right. Trump made the hotline. He was calling people names. There hasn't been a candidate in years, in decades, who has called the other candidates names directly. I don't think anyone has called anyone names in front of their face. You know, I can't even imagine going back and supporting somebody if they called me Little Don. You know, like you called Little Marco and the General and all these other people that you know, I don't even remember all the names he used to call people, and that is completely against what is politically correct.
Etiquette,
correct. So, you know, this is something that brand new, and everything that we're talking about is purely conjecture because we've never seen this before. I was proud of, you know, I'm proud of Donald Trump in that he was able to take an election that was totally unwinnable for him, even though he had the experience in another presidential election back, 86 or something like that. But he was able to pull off one of the most magnificent, I'll call it upset in history, and definitely in American history. So you got to give him props. He knows how to manipulate. And that's
office, why can't he embrace all these different departments?
Because
you know, like,
that's
have respect for them.
That's
because
not his job.
His base doesn't want that. His base wants to take apart everything and create something in their own image. And that image is flawed, it's weak, and it's now becoming passé. It's becoming blasé. It's becoming out of date.
Well, every day there's a different rumor. Like, I also heard that Betsy DeVos was going to resign. Is that true?
I don't know.
I didn't hear that rumor. I think she's
got
a lot of work to do.
I don't know.
How difficult is it to keep your job when everybody in the country except the small is against you? Not just nonplussed and neutral.
Are you saying everybody is against Trump?
They're definitely against Betsy DeVos. I haven't heard of anybody who's for Betsy DeVos. But
I am.
Well, there you go. But
you know what, Ben? You know enough about education and know she's a bad seed.
Why? How? Explain to me how she's bad.
Ben, she's got no educational experience.
Because she didn't help the state of Michigan, for one thing. She wanted to privatize everything.
Exactly.
I expected more intellectualism from you. Do you blindly support everything that Donald Trump does?
No.
Just be honest with me.
No, I don't. I don't blindly support anything anybody does. I can explain why I support
Betsy
DeVos.
Okay, tell us why you support Betsy DeVos.
Because I can
see
the problem. You just put it on me to explain my position. I will. Because I can see the problem that she's laid out. The teachers' unions have manipulated the children, and the college campuses have become a political breeding ground for chaos. And she is offering privatized school systems so to break away from the liberal agenda. And that's something I support.
Okay, the only problem with that is these degree programs are already set up on campuses. You can't really change the tone and attitude to young people unless they're going to campus on a Christian campus.
Okay.
Like you can't,
I'll prove my
she
point.
Can't control she can't control what generation millennials are about. She should only be worried about the framework of the education that's being offered. And I thought the person in charge of the Department of Education is supposed to be more focused on K through 12.
No, they're supposed to be focused on results. Why are we failing? Why are we the world's biggest failure in education when we should be the world's leader in education? And I'll prove my point with the latest headlines on protesting guns. Why are the children being used as pawns for politics on protesting the Constitution when they don't even understand what they're doing?
Well, you know, they're
right.
The media's covering them because some of the students were articulating what their argument was. They weren't trying to pull a stunt. They just care about living or dying.
No, that's false because none of the conservative articulate kids were covered, period. Not their opinion.
Well, this one lady who was running for, I don't know if it was I think it was the Senate or Congress in Maine. She had to step down because she called that lesbian girl in Miami a skinhead lesbian. And she got so much flack, she had to step down from her race. Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about that.
No, I've got a ride now.
Okay, so you know that young girl with the short hair that kept talking and talking and got a lot of exposure? Well, apparently at some rally, this lady who was running for state or federal office in Maine made a crack, you know, like a comment saying that she looks like a skinhead lesbian. She got so much national coverage for that comment, she was forced to resign running for that public office.
All right, and that's the point. If you attack a child, then your name is mud. But if you use a child, then all of a sudden you're a Democrat.
Well,
because
to tell you
the Democrats
truth,
have lost.
Now, I don't know if this is good or bad, but I only watched like three of those speeches, And I only, one of them I watched 5 to 6 minutes. A couple other kids that I watched was one at the town hall with that Trump conducted. Like, I listened to about 2 or 3 boys and 1 girl. And I didn't do it because I was trying to get a political slant on it. But one boy did know a lot about the Constitution, and he did articulate himself well. And to tell you the truth, it's not a good idea to politicize that. Like, just give them their voice. So what? It was an unusual way of looking at a tragedy. Can't these kids make a claim without someone trying to decide if it's a slant?
No, because if you look deeper into it, it's nonprofits and politicians that helped them along the way. There was meetings with the school.
I guess
there
I don't
want to
be
that
suspicious of
them.
An American. I just want to hear
you
people
to
talk. Even if
you have a child in
even
high school,
Andrew,
you should be.
Remember that dad I played a few weeks ago that he said he's never going to see his daughter's face again, and he was in so much grief, and apparently he wasn't a believer in God. Like, I don't know. Like, I just think people in that kind of tragedy, you just give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think they were all put up as props for the Democratic Party.
No, some of them are, and some of them follow. And if you have a kid in high school, you should be wary of it. It doesn't mean you're a conspiracy theorist. It doesn't take a conspiracy theorist to figure out who paid for all this stuff. Who paid for the buses to get them to
D.C.? I guess, you know, like,
I'm going to
give the kids a pass. When it's something like the Las Vegas thing, you know?
For protesting
where,
the Constitution
where,
and
when
the
we
NRA?
Were examining all different sides of, like, how that guy got up there with the guns and how there was, like, a hidden elevator. Like, I'm going to theorize all day long, but I'm not going to step on kids' toes, kids who are trying to express themselves.
Right.
The
well,
only thing,
we never listen
yeah.
to we never listen to kids when we legislate. I mean, why would we start listening to children now that can't even vote yet? Why would we legislate around a child's opinion of politics when they can't even vote yet?
I guess because they got some kind of momentum and they went with it. Like, I heard
right,
one of those
momentum,
children.
That's.
It wasn't the short-haired girl,
research.
But another girl with longer hair who her best friend got killed. She literally dropped out of high school. She's finishing online, and now she's going around the country to make pitches. Now, I think that's a bad
right.
move, like changing your whole life because of one event, no matter how tragic it was.
Right, and that's a reactionary point of view. And if you claim to be a liberal, then you wouldn't want to be a reactionary, right?
Well, we're in the YouTube era where everyone thinks all their opinions are legitimate and they're going to monetize or they're going to make money off of their own opinions, their own tragedy or their own life consequence. Like, I could have gone around the country, too, after my daughter died of a heart transplant and done all that kind of stuff and became a public speaker, but I wasn't even thinking like that back then.
Right. All I'm saying is that you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to figure out who has paid the bulk of the money to move these kids across the country.
Well, I don't want to
think
about that, Ben. I want to stay innocent.
Well, that's why you have this show. I'm ruining your innocence. I'm opening your eyes to things that are right there for you to understand.
Okay, well, I'll give you this much. I'll look into it. And if I find out that you are that some of it's true, then we'll discuss it next week. You're not ruining my show. You've been a great asset to our show. And most of the time we're all on the same page. And even if we disagree,
right.
we respect each other's opinions. But I guess we don't have Albert here tonight. as a millennial trying to shoot us down, so we're maybe a little imbalanced.
That's why I'm getting a little bit, I guess, there's a line with me. Since I have kids that are not quite in high school yet, there's a line with me. When politics control teachers that control children, that's the line with me. You're not going to control my children for your politics agenda. And that's why I'm standing up and pointing out what's going on.
We can understand, Ben. And I wish you would have phrased it like that earlier. Now, ask you guys a quick favor? I got to take my medicine. Can you carry the show for 3 minutes, Don and Ben?
Well, right now I've got a ride coming. So, Ben, you might have to do it for 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll hold off. Okay, to tell you the truth, it's not like we're on each other's nerves tonight, but we've been going now for 71 minutes. So we're going to do our conclusions now because I have to be at school early tomorrow. I have to be there by 8 o'clock.
Okay, there is one thing we didn't bring up yet. There is another attack that happened tonight in Austin. There was two explosions, and I don't know
was
the details.
Was it like a pipe bomb or something?
I guess there was explosions, and that's all I know. I know it was two different locations.
Okay, well, I'll look up CNN now. I'm not saying that we have to end it in the next 5 minutes. It's just, let's see. I'm going to look it up while you're talking. One thing I want to mention as I'm skimming through CNN is that all seven candidates who ran against Putin were government picked, and his biggest opponent was not allowed to run. So now it says in the headline news that he won the election. Okay, this says Austin explosion injures two men, authorities say. Two men were taken to the hospital with serious but non-life-threatening injuries after an explosion. Police were called on the scene at 8:32 p.m. in a city that's been rattled by blasts. There were three explosions total.
Oh, three.
There was one. One came from a backpack. Three package explosions have happened over a 10-day period. These explosions killed a man and a teenager and injured two others. The victims in these explosions were African American and Hispanic. Police have not discovered a motive but have not ruled out the possibility the bombs could be hate crimes. So basically they don't know anything yet.
All right.
And
yeah, it's still ongoing.
Staggered. So I guess
the
we'll
other
know
thing
more
I
next
wanted to,
week.
I had to work
Go
this
ahead,
weekend,
Ben.
So I couldn't. Yeah, I had to work this weekend, so I couldn't send you anything. But the other thing that I was going to bring up was that California has elected illegal aliens as government officials. So that is a topic of itself. How is that possible? How can you legally elect somebody into office who is an illegal alien who doesn't even technically have the right to vote?
Good point. I have no idea.
What would you feel about that if that happened in your town or if your representative was an illegal alien? How would you feel if all of a sudden you became an enemy because of your skin?
I'd feel like they were taking shortcuts and that they shouldn't really hold public office. And that,
right. Well,
like I lived around a lot of illegals in California. A lot of them had menial jobs and some of them had good jobs, but if they're going to try to do something that only legal citizens are entitled to, it would bother me a little.
Right. Well, in order to become a lawyer, I know one of them is a lawyer.
Can
in
you,
order
can
to become
you just
a lawyer,
repeat the beginning of your introduction of that commentary? Because my brain kind of like just went somewhere else. So there's these illegals, and they want to hold public office, and they want immunity from the Fed?
They have elected two public officials who are illegals. One of them is a lawyer. She's a female. In order to become a lawyer, you have to be accepted into a school. So this whole narrative that illegals don't take Americans' jobs, somebody got a rejection letter to allow her to get into that school to become a lawyer. So an American citizen got a rejection letter.
She was either a resident alien, like a green card. She had a green card but had resident alien status. Because illegal's a vague term. Like, did she have a green card with resident alien status? Or did she not have anything?
I don't know what her status was, but if you're
because
illegal,
I have
that means...
One friend I have here from the Bahamas that I've known now for over 15 to 20 years, her mother brought her over here. She has green card status that she keeps renewing, but I don't think she's a citizen. Other people are just plain illegal. Like they're not supposed to be here. They overstayed their visa.
So do you think a representative should be on a green card?
No. Can you hang on a second?
Yeah.
I think having a green card is a legal way to be. But if you're not a citizen, you really should not hold public office. Right?
Exactly. And the war is just starting between the federal system and the local system. So the state. I shouldn't say local. I should say state versus federal.
You know, we mentioned
last
week that Jerry Brown made comments to Trump that were fighting words. Like, pretty much, we're going to run our state the way we want to. The hell with you.
Right.
And as far as I know, Trump was out there 3 or 4 days ago, but he rarely goes to California.
It's dangerous now because their policies have allowed the state to be compromised. And if the state has been compromised, then our country has been compromised.
Well, all I can say is that there's cultural strongholds in different areas. And Antonio Villaraigosa, who ran for mayor and lost the first time and won the second time, and I believe he lost in the late 80s and won in the 90s sometime. He was in a group called La Raza, which is like it's a Mexican movement about cultural identity and national pride. And it was kind of an anti-American group at one time.
Right.
Is that Don?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back.
Okay, I'm already in the bathtub, you guys.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm recording underwater, and do you guys want to continue talking, or can I do my conclusion and you guys talk, or what?
Well, right now it's been crazy. It just stopped snowing within the last, 12 hours. So we're kind of doing, we're crazy getting people in and out, so I'm kind of busy right now, so... If you want to do conclusions,
can we just do our conclusions then?
That's fine with me.
Sure.
Okay, I'm just going to start so Ben can rebut me. Basically, I've seen a lot of things in the news, not just from one particular source. Like, I looked at third-party ones on YouTube. I looked at national news. I looked at print journalism. The thing is a lot of, and I even looked at my high school friends' Facebook tweets. People don't understand what's going on. They don't understand why McCabe got fired a few hours before his resignation. They've been confused since Trump took office, and these are people, the people I'm talking about are people who kind of follow politics, but then they get upset by, like, school shootings, but they kind of try to ignore the big picture of Trump. But basically our country is under a lot of tension right now without an end result. Like, there's no peace or tranquility or common faith or common bond, except for what people do in their own communities through their churches and community organizations. So I brought up a few key issues tonight that I thought would propel people to think in a direction, like what's really behind the tariffs that we didn't really get to finish, and if Canada is supplying a lot of our steel and aluminum goods, then is China really the only threat, or is there more behind that issue? All I know is that there seems to be upheaval with the Trump administration every day with firings or departures. And even if I wasn't a Democrat, I'd like to know what's going on and what the end game is. So I'm just going to stop my conclusion there. Ben?
Let me throw mine in because I think I've got to ride in about 4 or 5 minutes. But Ben can rebut you in a second. Bottom line is that this is all about race. It's 125% about it. I just had a book club reading that I am headed. We were reading the Willie Lynch letters, Making of a Slave. And that tells you exactly what it's all about. It's about non-inclusion for blacks, and that has over time gone over to all minorities. But it's all about the power and the money. Minorities have always been utilized for chattel, and that's what they call it, for mercantile reasons. And this is what I've been saying all along, is that if we can get over this race thing, which is the power move, power struggle, whatever the case may be, then we might be able to start moving on to solving our pressing problems. But as long as we can keep a divisive proletariat, then everything is working right for our white slave masters. And that is exactly
okay, John,
I
have a German brother-in-law who doesn't like Trump and McCain, and he started his own upstart business in Minnesota. He doesn't like them because they don't coincide with his beliefs on government service and policy agenda. How do you factor that into everything is contributory towards race?
Okay,
when a
now,
native German
times,
just, he does, he lives
times,
here, he owns a business. So how does that factor in?
Many times you've heard me say that this is more or less distinct to those Americans, white Americans specifically, who lived here before and after 1930. Those whose families were here before 1930, in many instances, are still within that slave mentality where there is a superior race. Those who have come here after 1930, well, after the Depression and all, they have come into a more homogenous type of community of America. So there is a difference, and that is a difference that is almost Civil War encountering or predispositioning or situation. So predisposition situation. So one of the things that I cannot say many bad things about those era after the 1930s. That's one of the things that I've always said.
Okay,
I've
I'm going to let Ben go now, but basically I can kind of accept that explanation. I found out today a restaurant owner in Superior uses the N-word when discussing Obama, and he's been living here for he's like third generation Scandinavian and German. So basically, but you know what? I think some things are attributed to race, but there's also a different layer. And this has to do with Samuel Huntington's The Third Wave of Modernization. There's the division between globalistic and nationalistic thought that's been, the narrative is in the news all the time, and we have to consider other ideologies beyond race because the world is very ethnically mixed at this point.
Well, at this point, but the whole world is still race-based, so you are missing the whole point.
Well,
this
I work with three Muslims who make the same amount of money as I do, and nobody's discriminated against them.
You don't know that.
Okay.
The FBI,
and I'm on my land phone because I can't mute anybody in the bathtub.
All right, go ahead,
I'm out.
I'm getting a ride now.
Good night, Don. Thank you for joining us, Don. Bye.
My pleasure.
Don.
Go ahead.
I am going to rebut Don. I'm not going to rebut you, Jane.
Okay.
Don, you're on the side that calls for democracy, the side that only acknowledges democracy and doesn't acknowledge the Constitutional Republic. And if it's not a lie that you are speaking for the minority, then you would not want to push for democracy. Because if it's the truth that you're a minority, then you would not want to be a minority in a democracy. So
factions one night.
I know, and I have to say it again because it came back up. If you don't get it by now, if you're really believing that you're a minority, then stop pushing for democracy because you will lose.
I believe Don hung up, Ben, but I like your argument because as a political scientist, that's the type of things we discuss in our class that I was in 10 years ago. But you're right. You want to be part of the majority. If you're part of the minority faction, then there's the fear of mob rule.
Exactly. So this whole minority business is not truthful. It is propagated by the census, and it's propagated by the education system and by the mainstream media. So if they want to be truthful
I agree with you on two terms because Don's saying that every human being who lives and breathes in the United States comes from a racially biased perspective that they're going to carry out their actions in every way of life that they do, whether it's sports or at their job or in their church. And I just think that's the wrong way to go about it. That's the wrong perspective.
Yep. And the way to break free of that is to acknowledge that this is a constitutional republic and that the government is there to protect the individual, the inalienable rights. So
that happens. Now, I did learn about a Girl Scout troop today in the poorest part of Duluth that they didn't have enough money to go to Washington, D.C., and three mothers wanted to fundraise more. But somebody in a richer part of town told them, you are limited in the way that you can fundraise. And then they found out that that person in the rich side of town was doing all different kinds of fundraising and limiting the poor group. Now, in that case, Don might be right. But in other cases, I do see organizations one place where I work that they hire all kinds of people, and most of them are resident aliens. In other words, they legally can work, but they're from Nigeria, Ghana, Liberia, Ethiopia. And my company does not discriminate against them. Maybe there's
right,
other places too.
Do they discriminate against white people?
Not that I've seen. They reprimand people who break the rules, just like most companies.
Well, that's good. There's still an argument to be made. If you are not legal here, then you shouldn't be participating in work. Because work is for the citizens. Because if you're a citizen, that comes with a lot of fines and fees and things like that.
The only exception
taxes.
Is the food harvest people, because even George Bush gave them a pass. And secondly, a lot of people do come here on a work permit. Like a bunch of teenagers came from Jamaica last year to work at Wisconsin Dells, and they were on a legal work permit.
Right. And I acknowledge
that. It's like an exchange program.
I've worked alongside people in the fields. I understand that well. And they count on it every year. They count on that money, and they show up on time, and they get to know the farmers that they work for. And our system has a problem being quick about things. So a lot of them just deal with, you know, coming in and leaving. It's too bad,
right,
our system
can't
get
ahead. Right, and they go home
in
the winter months to Mexico or
right.
Other places perhaps. Well,
yep.
With that, I'm not playing a song by John. I'm just going to end the show. And next week I want to tell you about a white guy in Duluth who got beat up by the cops, was falsely charged, and he wasn't a black man. So let's have a good night, Ben. Okay?
All right, you too.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye.